This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
One machine can do the work of 50 ordinary people. No machine can do the work of one extraordinary person. Albert Hubbard. A young man polishes the lens of a video camera in the back of a van.
Where are we going, Gus?
It's the tow lot. It's the impound lot.
What is impound?
A young woman in a sweater and toque drives.
It's where they take the cars that have been towed.
Go. What is that?
Well, remember when they took your car away from my mom's place?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, we're going there.
I don't like that.
Well, that's where Lonnie is. We gotta go meet him.
Gus, the cameraman, gets out of the van, filming.
Fuck. Oh, there he is.
Gus!
A hip young man with a sparse beard approaches.
Thanks for coming, bro.
Awesome.
No problem, man. Hey, this is my cousin, Alina. She's from Russia. She's staying with her mom over in Kitsch, and she's gonna do sound.
Oh, hello. Very pleased to meet you. Gus, tell me you're a great filmmaker.
Oh, I forget. Sorry.
Cinema Libre presents.
Your cousin from Russia is our sound person? Are you crazy? This is important, man. What are you doing?
She's got her own Niagara. Plus, she said we can use her van for free.
An Anagram Pictures production.
I don't know if you've ever done documentaries before, but I like to shoot and record everything.
Hey, she knows what she's doing, man. Like, why are you talking to her like she's a retard?
I didn't say she was a retard.
A film by Lonnie Goosen.
KG, never stop Niagara.
Exactly.
So what's the plan, man? How are we gonna get in there?
Fucking perfect, bro. Those fuckers, they towed my car.
Lonnie Goosen, 24. $2,975 in outstanding parking tickets.
Okay,
Lonnie
go.
Strides to the impound lot office with Gus and Alina filming and recording behind him.
I believe you have my car. It's a blue station wagon. It's in the back.
Turn that cam off, please.
I'm sorry, you don't like it when I film you? You know what's funny?
ID.
People don't like it when you tow their cars.
ID.
You need my ID. You see, I parked my car in a loading zone, and I was just trying to load some stuff from a loading zone. You guys don't like it when people load from loading zones?
Towing in storage is $7,250.
$7,250? I'm an honest, hard-working person.
Oh, your car's been declined.
Here. Take what you need.
Olina hands him money.
No problem.
You got an attitude problem.
Here you go, have a good day.
Frick.
Lonnie interviews people on the street.
Okay, so what's the one thing that you hate most about this whole mess?
The meter reader. I'd just like to line them all up and just shoot them.
Put a bunch of people out here, you dress them like cops, you want them to walk and talk like cops, but you give them the authority of somebody like who's a janitor at some sort of a fast food restaurant, right. Then you got a situation.
I think it's a total cash grab.
Totally offside and fair. It's taxation and annoys me.
I'm a businessman. I own this place right here, right? And I can't even park in front of
it. I think it's shit. Sucks. It licks.
Yeah, if somebody was fucking putting a fucking ticket on my car, yeah, I might mess them up a bit.
The Delicate Art of Parking, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada.
I think this is new fucking nose.
Yes, hi. I've called to speak to someone in public relations department, someone who monitors the level of anger felt by the public. Do you have a special department for that? Do you have someone I can speak to? Do you have anyone who cares? Hang up.
Lonnie hangs up the payphone.
Come here. I have an idea. Do you have another quarter?
Oh, yeah, good.
Okay, now when she answers, just tell her that you're interested in becoming a parking enforcer, but you're worried about safety because everyone out there is so pissed off. No, actually, don't say pissed off.
Oh, but I do sound.
I know you
Lonnie,
do.
Lonnie, I don't think she wants to, man.
No.
Just forget it, okay?
I like to help.
Just forget it. Come on.
Lonnie interviews parking enforcers.
Can we just ask you a couple questions about parking enforcement? You believe that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. But
I gotta go do the right thing.
Okay.
You know what? It's people like you that really piss me off, you know? We're here for you.
The short blonde enforcer, Harriet, taps her butt as she leaves.
Check this out.
An enforcer tickets a white cube van in an alley. The van driver grabs the ticket and punches the enforcer. The film crew dashes towards them. As the driver strides away, Lonnie follows.
Hey, buddy, you mind if I just ask you a couple questions?
What?
What's with Garcia?
The man gets into his van, and Olina hurries to the dweebish injured enforcer. Grant Parker, 31.
Parking enforcement officer, 7 years on the job. I understand why people get upset when they get a ticket. It's a real pressure cooker out there.
Later, Lonnie interviews Grant.
Right, so it doesn't bother you to get hit then?
No. You know, it's not like it happens very often. I mean, this is only the sixth time I've been hit, which is less than once a year. Most parking enforcement officers get hit a lot more than that. Most don't even last a year.
Really? How come?
Many have a tough time committing to the work. Parking enforcement isn't something that you can go into half-cocked. You have to be able to maintain a sense of its true meaning.
In clips of Grant on the job, one irate man throws a crumpled ticket. Another chases him.
So what would you say is the true meaning of your job?
The true meaning of parking enforcement is to provide an essential service to the people of the city and the overall better good of society.
On the job...
This guy can't make up which meter he wants to park at.
That's not good.
Because this is fucked, okay? This is you, and this is my car, and you're fucking me in my car right now, okay?
I get up every morning knowing that I play a vital role in keeping the streets unobstructed and the traffic flowing. Like a large heart that needs its arteries kept clear.
Don't run away from me, you little fucking bucket!
I keep that front and center in my mind. Every time I write a ticket, it's something I believe in.
Grant smiles proudly.
That was really nice.
And he says, all I got. Be right back.
Grant leaves the room. Lonnie puts on Grant's uniform jacket.
See, the true meaning of the work is that society is going to benefit. My intense.
Lonnie?
Be the best.
What are you doing?
I am the parking.
Grant returns.
He just tried uniform. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, it's just. I want to see how this thing would feel. I've never been to anyone in uniform before. It feels good, though.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Later, Grant measures how far a car is parked from the curb.
You see? 53 centimeters. A regulation is 40. I mean, some people, they just don't take the time to finish up a park.
Wait a minute. Grant, that's like 5 inches. Wouldn't it be easier just to let this guy go?
Well, I mean, talking about creating a whole gray area.
I mean, if an offending vehicle owner thought that I had the power to make a judgment call, well, they'd get even madder.
Yeah, but people are already pissed off, man. People are pissed off as hell.
What are you getting so upset about?
I'm not upset. Giving people a break once in a while, you know, would help lower violence. I mean, you're pushing people that are under a lot of pressure.
What if I was to tell you that there's a new technique being designed, specially designed to deal with exactly the kind of person you're talking about? Now, it's still in the developmental stages, but when it comes out, boy, it's going to work.
Okay, well, what is it?
Well, I can't really talk about it. It's going to be called opening the window, and it's pretty complex. I mean, it's very complex, actually.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with breathing and, you know, eye contact, and then it goes pretty deep down into the whole psyche of people and how they think. Well, Murray could explain it a whole lot better.
Well, who's Murray?
Oh, he's only our union safety and training steward and my best friend. He's like a guru.
A guru of parking enforcement. It's excellent. Can we meet this guy?
I think we can arrange that.
I'd love to interview him.
Murray go to two?
He radios in.
Yeah, meeting Murray will shed a whole lot of new light on your movie.
I'm sure it will.
Murray.
Lonnie smirks at the camera.
Murray, can you hear me? Murray. Murray, go to two?
Hey, little buddy!
A tow truck pulls up.
You know him?
Yeah, it's Jerome. He's a friend of mine. He's a tow driver.
How are you?
A big man climbs out.
Take a movie!
Yeah.
All
Jerome,
right.
This is Lonnie.
Hi, hey. How are you?
How you doing, Jerome?
Your belt buckles. Oh, excuse me. I just go pee. You put me in the movie?
Jerome Wu, 33, tow truck driver, 14 months.
Gus behind the camera. He's the camera guy. And
hi, Gus.
Hey, how's it going?
So, Olina.
Hello, what's your name? Olina?
Yeah.
It's a real pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I have to speak to you in the foyer.
He leans towards Olina's boom mic.
How are you?
He's a bit of a ladies' man.
What?
Hey, Jerome, there's no parking here.
No, would you like to have an interview?
Yeah.
About towing cars and stuff?
Oh, yeah, why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, great.
You're not jealous? I'm gonna be an actor too, huh?
Parking, no, really, there's no parking here, John. You're gonna have to move.
You are an actor now?
No, I'm not kidding, John. You're gonna have to move it. I'm sorry.
It's... Yeah, wait. I'm just talking with my new friend. Hey.
He poses for the camera.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's okay. I love it. Oh, sometimes the people scream a little bit, but, you know, I'm leaving, you know?
You think these problems are going to get worse?
Oh, yeah, it's getting much worse for sure, you know? You think a guy get mad when he come back to his car to find a ticket? You get to see him when he come back to his car and he find no car.
He smiles at Olina.
You want to go for a ride? See some real action?
That's a good idea.
Hey, Grant, they come with me! They come with me for a ride!
Grant hurries back to them.
See some real action. I'm gonna bring with it more to me.
Okay, Lonnie, there's quite a bit more about parking enforcement.
I think we got some real good stuff, Grant.
Oh.
It was really great, so thanks a lot. But we still want to meet that Murray guy, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I can call him on my radio and we can meet up later.
Oh, I could get him on mine.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Okay.
Grant stays behind. In the tow truck.
Grant is my best friend. He's a damn good enforcer, too. Huh? He's won the enforcer of the month a bunch of times.
How many?
Of maybe about around 10 times. He's him and Murray is like a Wayne Gretzky and Lemmy of ticketing. Well, maybe not exactly like those guys, you know? When I got here, I didn't know anyone, you know? Not even to speak English. You know, Grant got me this job. I learned many things from watching him, you know? And he loved his job so much, and I tried to do that too. You know, I have to tell you, it feels pretty great inside when you love your job.
If you want to pick up me when in Georgia...
I think we got one. Come on down, Jacqueline.
All right.
You win that car.
Action, eh?
Action.
Jerome backs the truck up to a parked Mustang and prepares it for towing.
Come on, easy now.
Straps up the wheels and raises the winch.
Finish!
44 seconds!
As he gives a happy thumbs up, two teens approach.
Come on, man, we're here.
$30 for drop charge.
What are you talking about?
Sorry, guys.
You got smokes. Give me your smokes.
Sorry, guys.
Fucking please, man.
Sorry, guys.
Fuck face!
He throws pizza at the tow truck.
What's up now, bitch?
Yeah.
When Jerome gets out of the truck, the teens drop their pizza and run. Jerome stares at the pizza smear on his rear window, then drives away.
Anything under a minute is pretty good.
Jerome and Lonnie eat the discarded pizza.
The more fast you are, the less chance you have to meet someone who's not happy. I bet you love your job, eh?
That's very cool.
I have a great idea for a movie. It's about a guy, he comes for the coast to work on boat, but ends up driving truck. It's called it Toy Story. You know, like Toy Story, but it's called it Toy Story.
Interesting. With art, it's on and off, you know? With tow truck driving, you can get up in the morning and go do it. You don't really have to think about it. You can just do it, right? Kind of mindless.
What?
With art.
I mind what?
You don't have to think too much, right? You can just go and do it.
Oh, yeah?
They tow the Mustang to the impound lot.
Hey, you have to interview my dispatcher, Claudia. You know, me, all the time, I get out of there before the guys find his car missing, but her should get everyone, you know?
Ask her if she's a car tow.
Yeah.
Jerome takes the microphone.
Hello, Claudia. We are doing a documentary on why people so get mad at us. Can you tell us what then...
Claudia looks at him somberly.
Oh, wait, something wrong, maybe.
He heads to the back office.
These guys,
wait. Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, go right away. I call you.
Soon
back.
After, Jerome returns.
We have to go call Grant right away.
What happened?
Marie had an accident.
You mean the guru guy?
Later, Lonnie interviews people on the street.
Earlier today, a parking enforcer got run over by a guy who had just gotten a ticket.
Good.
Good?
Yeah, good.
Oh my God. So what are they doing about it?
You know, boo-hoo, parking enforcement guy gets run over.
The guy was knocked right into a meter. He's in a coma.
That's sad. That's really sad.
Oh, well, I feel bad.
Yeah? I mean,
you know, they're out there to do their jobs.
He's a person too, but he's chosen to be a puppet for something that he probably doesn't even understand.
Risk with every job, right?
Jerome carries a bouquet of flowers through a hospital. He tries to lead Lonnie and his crew through the maze of corridors. He shrugs as they turn another corner.
Maybe it's upstairs. Maybe it's downstairs. It's outside.
He makes a call on a payphone.
This must be it.
He leads them into intensive care.
Hi. We look for Marie Schwartz.
Grant approaches them, worried.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Grant. Oh, we have the wick of time to try to find this Anton Scare place.
What are you doing here?
Grant pulls Jerome aside.
Could you bring him over here? This is private. And Murray's mom is very upset. I can't believe he could be so stupid.
I'm sorry. They were just very interested in Murray.
Why, I'm afraid that your documentary is over. I'm sorry, really. I'm really sorry, but this is just a terrible time right now. Everybody's going to be hit very hard by this. It's terrible. We're going to clear out of here. Hey, just shut it down, Gus.
You bet.
My documentary is not important at all.
Gus secretly films Lonnie and Grant.
Well, we wouldn't want the wrong spin about it, right? Right now, might be a good idea.
I don't know. Murray's mom is pretty upset.
They meet with Murray's mom.
A special on my boy?
That's right. Oh. We know he's the best.
He is.
Have you eaten yet today? Would you like a pop? You must be feeling so terrible, Mrs.
Yes.
Schwartz.
Yeah. Don't make me cry.
She shows them a photo of Murray.
Oh, that's really nice.
Murray Schwartz, 41, parking enforcer, 17 years, current status, in a coma. At the Schwartz home...
He's a great leader, then.
Oh, I would say so. It was always there. It was always there. I noticed it even when he was a little guy. You
really?
Know? Yeah. When he was out playing with the kids, he'd want to be the one in charge. He was nice and even-tempered. He didn't cry. No, he didn't. He was nice. And he didn't beg for things and say, gimme, gimme. You know, like some kids do. And he'd say, please, Mama. He didn't graduate from high school as such. But to me, He did. This is, I'm proud of this because he graduated. You see, he's graduated. That's his teacher.
Okay.
Please. He graduated from Shaw.
Can we hold up one of these pictures? And wow.
Lonnie holds up a photo of a teenage Murray with a puffy mullet.
He's got beautiful hair.
He had a lot of hair, didn't he? And look, there's another style.
A bit shorter then.
I think he was creating his own look.
That's really nice.
Would you like to see his video?
Oh, that's a great idea, Mr. Schwartz.
Grant takes a copy of Murray's parking enforcer training video and puts it in the VCR. He joins Lonnie and Mrs. Schwartz on the sofa to watch the dated video, which is titled Taking It to the Streets, an introduction to parking enforcement. The bespectacled Murray poses with a parking meter.
Hi there. I'm Murray Schwartz. If you're watching this tape, then you've chosen to become a U-Fines parking enforcement officer. Welcome.
This was actually shot on his roof.
Parking enforcement is not something that you go into half-cocked. If you give it the dedication and faith that it requires, you'll soon discover it's not just a job, it's a calling. As a parking enforcer, you'll need to maintain a sense of the job's true meaning. That being to provide an essential
Grant watches adoringly.
The city and an overall better good of society. Like a large heart that needs its arteries kept clear, it'll be your job to make sure that the main avenues of traffic toward the downtown core remain unobstructed so that people can
That's
get where they're going as quickly and as efficiently as possible. You're going to have to keep that front and center in your mind every time you put on your uniform. A multiple offender is someone who has at least 10 unpaid parking tickets. It's important to recognize here that he has no intention of paying those tickets and is therefore capable of anything. When approaching a multiple offender, approach with extreme caution.
I've had enough, really. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Grant turns it off.
Good idea, the man. He's a very compassionate man. Seems like it.
It's so hard to think about it.
Mm. Lonnie puts his arm around her.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I can't help it. He's just doing his job. That's all he was doing.
I know. We won't touch anything.
His room's just downstairs.
She leads them all into the basement where Christmas tree lights and parking meter art lines the wood-paneled walls.
Wow. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Wow.
The bed has parking meters for footposts. At the head of the bed is a Buddhist shrine.
This is, this is his work area. See, here is, hey, Lonnie, the three steps I was telling you about here.
Oh, right, right.
Rule of three. It's Murray's opening the window technique.
So he was into Buddhism and mixing it with parking enforcement? Is that...
He was into many things, Lonnie.
What's that?
They find a drawing of a futuristic parking meter with devil's horns.
Fear eat the soul.
Jerome reads a sign on the
Fear
wall.
Fear eat the soul. Do you know what this means?
I don't know.
You don't know?
They spot a photo of a bare-chested man with a parking meter head.
What's this?
Yeah, I never really understood that one. Everyone's got their own taste.
That's fucked up.
Action.
Later.
Welcome to the Intersection Club. Parking enforcers started this place back in 1952.
And don't forget the tow driver.
The tow driver started coming a couple years after that. You know, after spending all day alone out on the street, it's a place where people can come to feel connected.
Grant rings the doorbell to the private clubhouse, and a slight silver-haired man answers.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bob Gromer, 42, assistant union rep, 6 years.
No, it's not the news at all.
And it's about Murray and how dangerous the job is. And you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, should be all right then.
Thank you.
You still have to sign in, though.
Lonnie signs in for the crew. And they enter the rec room-style club.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
my guy.
All of the off-duty parking enforcers gawk at them.
Hey, Brent. How's Marie doing? Is he gonna make it?
Well, they don't know yet, but they think so.
Doctor said good chance full recovery.
Sweet!
Yes, sir!
As Lonnie takes a pitcher of beer from the bar, Jerome interviews the enforcers.
Hey, you want to say a few words about Marie?
We make a real one with the enforcer.
You think it's possible Marie could have ticketed the guy before he was hit?
Definitely. I hope they killed the bastard that got him.
Harriet Sharp, 38, parking enforcer, 2 years.
Marie tickets again. Moves on down the street. Guy comes back, sees a ticket, hits the fucking roof, gets back in his truck, sees Marie, mows him down. Hey, that's my shot.
She hurries to the pool table.
He's in the prison?
No, Jerome, we don't keep people in prison here in this country unless they've actually been convicted of a crime.
Constable Dave DeMarco, 36, police officer, 9 years.
There's been no charge yet. We're just holding him. But I do think that we can take comfort in knowing that Murray appeared to have been following procedure.
What do you mean, appeared? What do you mean, appeared?
He appeared to have been following procedure.
Murray has an impeccable safety record, Dave. You know, nobody has a right to question that. Nobody, not even the police.
I wasn't questioning that. What I said was that at first glance, we think that he was doing things by the books. You see, Murray's a heck of an enforcer. And everyone knows that here in this bar. That's why we're all gathered here, probably, I imagine. To Murray. Salut. Salut.
Salut.
They drink their beers.
Impeccable safety record.
No, I wasn't actually.
Every month, whoever writes the most tickets gets 1 point. We need 10s for the Browns book.
Jerome shows off the Wall of Fame.
And my friend, my best friend, Grant, is the only one guys active with a silver. Look this face. This one, you need 30 for the gold. And Murray is the only one ever got the gold. And my friend, my best friend, Grant, really, really, really want the gold. To the gold, my friend.
The drinking continues.
Today out there, it's an extreme climate. With all the extra density and stuff downtown, I mean, is this manageable?
I don't know. And that is a very good question.
Ida Thomas, 46, senior union rep, 7 years.
Makes you wonder just how long people can keep doing this job.
Oh, I think they can keep doing it for a long time, Bob.
Of course they can. I didn't mean anything by that.
Think about it.
Harriet scolds a nervous nerd, Phil.
We're lucky to have you on the inside. Tell us what's going on and everything.
Dave comforts Grant.
Hey, Grant, don't you worry about me. We're going to nail this guy. Huh? That's a promise. We're going to nail him.
All right, everyone. It's time to let your troubles go. To release the stresses from your mind, your body, and your soul.
The awkward enforcers gather on the dance floor. Harriet motions to Dave, and he gets up to dance with her.
You wanna dance?
Jerome talks into Alina's boom mic. Grant sits by himself. The club starts to close. Two enforcers hold each other on the empty dance floor.
How can you get up and go out there every single day and do something where people hate you?
Lonnie talks to Harriet and a tubby drunk man with sideburns.
Like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't even apply to do that. Like, I don't...
Murray made it seem like it was all so important, you know? Like, we were doing it for them instead of against them, you know? Like,
Here's the thing. Everybody here has got a certain amount of tickets in. You know? That's all I got. And once they give them out, that's it. They're done.
You think that happened to Murray? I mean, can that happen?
Fuck yeah.
I think it's gonna be hard.
Isn't there some place you need to go? Something you need to do?
Well, I was gonna sit here.
Like, fucking off?
Okay, then.
Isn't there a doll somewhere that needs to be blown up?
That's weird.
Yeah.
See, Gord?
As the tubby man, Gord, leaves, Lonnie shakes hands with him.
All right. Be good, man.
Yeah.
Harriet leans in.
So, what's going on here, huh? Huh? Single?
Am I single? No, I'm not.
Lonnie glances blearily at the camera.
We should go, Gus. Eh?
Where are you gonna go?
Oh, we gotta take the camera back.
I can carry a camera. So I see you got a couple of t-shirts that you're wearing.
I do.
Hey, okay, you got a couple of t-shirts.
I do.
Who is that?
Gus, turn that camera on.
Well, I like cameras. What's your rush? I got a special all-night parking spot for you, huh?
Yeah.
I'm a hard worker.
Guys, turn the fucking phone off.
What, man?
Just trying to turn me fucking off. I can make your legs numb.
The next day, outside U Fine's headquarters.
This is where we hold all our morning meetings. Today's meeting's a little different, though. We have our union president from Toronto here to speak to us on the rising violence out there on the streets.
Really nice. That was really nice. Let's move inside.
All right, man.
We got that. That was really nice.
We have to cross the crosswalk.
Inside, as Lonnie drinks a coffee, the enforcers gather for their morning meeting.
How long have you been making films, Lonnie?
Oh, quite a while.
I've been taking some acting classes, you know, just part-time.
Oh, yeah? That's great.
I thought you might want to take a look at this.
Bob gives him a headshot photo.
It's really nice.
You can keep that if you like. I took a course, so, you know, if you're ever casting for someone or you know someone who he is, you could maybe pass that along if you like.
Sure, no problem.
I didn't clear that with Ida, so...
Oh, no, it's fine. She'll make it snappy.
Olena looks at the headshot.
Not bad shot, Bob.
It's pretty good. Thanks. It's good in the shape.
As Bob joins Ida at the front of the room, Lonnie folds up the headshot. Putting on his sunglasses, he accidentally knocks down a display map.
All right, everyone, quiet. We're going to get started. For those of you who don't know Tony Bullock, he is our CAPIO national president. Tony has flown all the way from Toronto to talk to us about safety.
Tony steps up to the podium.
Thank you, everybody. Now, looking back over the past couple of years, there's been a sharp increase in the number of physical attacks. And to tell you the truth, there's no reason to believe it's going to get any better. Now, Murray's recent accident could ultimately be looked at as a kind of crossroads, a time of crisis, definitely, but also possibly a time of change. And obviously, Murray's accident has been hard on everyone. But right now, we have to think about the future. Murray's got a pretty big pair of shoes to fill, there's no doubt about that. But I'm sure you'll all agree there isn't a person better qualified to temporarily fill the job than Grant Parker.
Grant looks around nervously. Later, Lonnie interviews enforcers.
You heard that guy, he was offered Murray's job, yeah. And he turned it down.
I don't know why he turned it down, I mean, he'd be great for it.
Grant's not a chicken.
I think Grant just doesn't know that his own potential.
You know, Murray, you know, for a tiny fucker, he's got big shoes to fill. And he has tiny little hands, which kind of creep me out a little bit.
I know Grant can do it because he's the best Murray we got out there. Do you think Grant's capable of the job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no one more totally anal.
What about you? Do you feel like you could do the job?
No. No.
In the hospital, Murray lies in bed in a full body cast with Jerome and Grant at his side.
Why, you look like a statue.
Not a statue, Jerome. He's in a body cast.
He's all broken.
He has a lot of broken bones. Excuse me? The cast is purely precautionary.
Can he hear us, or is he just taking a sleep?
We don't know for sure. it's important to speak positively about his recovery and about his potential for being better.
The nurse hooks up Murray's IV.
Murray, you are a very, very lucky man.
Lonnie gestures at Jerome.
Hey, Grant, can I talk to you for a second in private?
Grant turns to the camera skeptically, and Jerome gives Murray a gentle chuck on his plaster chin. Then they step aside.
And one thing my mother's always told to me, you know, it's, Jerome, don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid to get on any boat that comes along. She's always tell me that.
But this is not a boat, Jerome.
Yeah, I know, but you can try. Somebody have to do it. If Murray doesn't make it.
Shh. I can still hear you. Aren't you listening?
Sorry.
Let me ask you something. I mean, would you do it? Would you just take Murray's job?
Yes. If I was an enforcement, yes, I'd try.
And what if somebody offered you a job as a mountain guide? Would you just take that?
Yeah. I could learn something about the mountain and then try.
How about fixing race cars? How about that?
Yeah, everybody is interested in that.
See, Jerome, that's your problem. You do anything. And that's why you're just a tow truck driver.
Hurt, Jerome stares at him.
What?
Jerome.
He looks back at Olena, then leaves.
Know what he's saying, that's all.
Grant steps back to Murray. And Lonnie shuffles up to him.
Grant, I know you don't want to hear this, but, you know, I think Murray made his job out to be more than it is, you know?
What are you talking about?
Well, maybe he made his job seem more, complex and more difficult than it really was, you know? It's not that difficult. It's not that important, you know?
Not that important?
No, it's not.
Grant pulls him aside.
Just because your job isn't important, Lonnie, doesn't mean that ours isn't.
Wait a minute. My job is important.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do your movies play an important part in the daily activities of the people of this city?
Yeah, they do.
Really? What do you do with your movies when they're done, Lonnie? Huh?
He turns to the camera.
Huh?
Well, he's actually never finished a film.
Gus!
I'm sorry, man. It was true, though.
You never complete film? But I thought... You said... I can't believe
Relax,
that!
Relax, okay? Okay, I'm still working on them. I'm working
I know,
them
man.
Through. You know how long it takes to make a film? How many films have you made?
Okay. You know, at least, Lonnie, you've chosen something interesting this time.
Oh, shut up! You know what? You're not interesting. Not even a little bit. Okay? Murray getting run down? That was interesting.
People like me and Murray, we put it on the line every time we write a ticket. We take risks out there. What kind of risks do you take?
You know what the truth is about your job? You're a tax collector. Okay, that's it. You're a tax collector. It's time you admitted that to yourself, man. You know, I bet if you took your opening the window crap out onto the street and tried it with real people, you'd get killed.
Really? You think so?
I know so, man.
Okay, you want to see it tested?
Hell yeah.
All right. Okay.
Later, he dresses Lonnie as a trainee enforcer.
Oh, what are you laughing at, Gus?
No. This isn't necessary.
No. Discomfort is the first pill to swallow on the road to change.
You want a Murray's saying?
Oh, well, you have any of your own, because I'd like to hear some of your own sayings, Grant.
Grant demonstrates marking a tire with chalk. Then Lonnie tries, but the chalk snaps. Lonnie climbs on a hood to give a ticket.
Whoa, Lonnie!
Take the ticket, I'll give you $5.
Lonnie deals with an offender.
I'm sorry, sir, I can't help the guy.
All right, $20.
$20?
$20.
The offender opens his wallet.
You're giving me the ticket.
You took money from a person. You never take money.
I'm sorry. I'm going to take this seriously. I am taking this seriously. Okay, I haven't been taking it seriously. Okay, but I will take this seriously.
Really, you take it serious?
Yes. Really, I'll take it seriously.
They shake hands.
Okay, now, the very first part of Murray's opening the window involves breathing.
Okay.
You have to take deep, full breaths from deep inside.
This ensures that you remain physically calm.
Lonnie confronts an irate offender.
Another one.
Grant intervenes.
You have to pick up the ticket.
It doesn't matter. You issued the ticket. You can't yell at people like that. You're supposed to. You can't hit the meter.
Secondly, you have to keep eye contact with the person. All right? Direct eye contact. This ensures that you always stay in relation with the person.
Please check the meter. I think there's something wrong with it. I'm not paying this fine.
Lonnie turns his back on a woman.
Wait, I'm not going to pay this fine. You deal with it. Check the meter.
I was eye contacting, and I learned to fucking...
And the third thing, Murray believed that more than anything else, you need to listen to the person. You know, the person really needs to feel that they're being heard.
Lonnie calmly listens to an angry offender.
Look, I am not your fucking buddy, you fucking little freak.
When the offender shoves him, Grant steps
in. Oh, okay. Two of you now. What the hell do you want? Want to give me another fucking ticket? I don't need another fucking ticket.
I understand, sir. Nobody likes to get a parking.
I was only parked here for a second.
I know you were.
Well, I got a lot of things going on.
Sure, you're very busy.
I don't have time for this shit.
I know exactly how you feel.
I got so many fucking parking tickets right now. I'm so fucking broke. My job's going down the fucking tubes. I got car payments. My girlfriend is... Oh, fuck.
He starts to cry.
Jesus.
It's okay.
Grant consoles him.
It's okay.
Sorry.
The offender hugs Lonnie.
Sorry.
He walks away.
I can't believe you just did that.
But that was a little rough, but you know, like, see how he released on me? Like,
Wow,
that's you released on me. You just opened right. That's what Murray's talking about. All this release. You're their release valve.
Later, Grant poses with a parking meter.
Great. How'd you feel? Did I feel good? I think with you staring off like that, people are gonna feel.
Jerome pulls up. Grant walks away.
Hey! Olina!
Olina runs over to Jerome.
Hi. How do you feel now?
I hear he took the job. I hope he's happy now.
I think he is.
You wanna go for a ride?
Sorry, I must work now.
What about later? You wanna go for a drink or something after work? I couldn't get you into the intersection club.
Sorry, Jerome.
Hey, let's go. Okay.
I'm sorry, I must work now. See you later.
Touching his arm.
Okay.
She hurries back to Lonnie, leaving Jerome sad. Later, in a training session.
People here on the left, you're going to be the violators. And over here on the right, you will be the enforcers. Now, enforcers, as the violators confront you, I want you to try moving through the three stages on the board to help diffuse the situation. Okay? Just, the violators wanna confront the enforcers. Really give it to the enforcers. That's right. Just, hey, you know?
Hey.
That's right. Hey, why did you give me that?
Hey,
speaking ticket. That's right, Gordon.
Hey, don't go for me.
Phil's role playing gets out of control.
Don't you fucking do that to me! I want a fucking parking ticket. I don't want you to fucking ever give me a parking ticket. Fucking lousy twat! Whoa! You fuck! Fuck you!
Phil, that... Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's... No, that's a real breakthrough. Phil, that... Everybody, that was just a really amazing, good job. Phil, that was just great. Really great. Oh.
Ida and Bob walk in.
Nice. Oh, well, that... Hey, do you want to join in? We're doing a training session. There's a couple chairs right there. We're just going
to
get...
talk to you for just a second?
Grant steps aside with his supervisors.
Well, like I said, it's a training session. I'm introducing them to Marie's new technique. It's going quite well.
You are the acting safety and training steward. Acting. Any new procedures have to be ratified by the national office. You know that. Same page then?
Yeah.
Good. Then let everybody go. Thank you.
Put those chairs back where you found them.
Lonnie interviews enforcers.
I saw his technique work. Why would they want to shut down something that's working?
Well, you know, a lot of the stuff, it could just be red tape. But I tell you, it could be that they're afraid of it, you know? It was pretty intense.
Well, I saw a lot of real potential there. I wanted to hear more. Didn't you?
I think Grant means well, but to be honest, I've really been feeling a lot of stress since Murray got hit. Having everyone yelling in there like that just made me even more nervous.
Obviously, he didn't do what they wanted for him, and I think Bob and Ida feel threatened.
Do you trust Ida and Bob?
Yeah.
They seem like they're being secretive about something.
I can't really say about that, you know.
Harriet motions for a car to be towed.
Yeah, it seems a little touchy-feely to me, but you know what? It's Marie's idea. Who knows? It might work. A little thiefy, but, you know.
The car owner runs up.
What do you mean, what the fuck is this? You're parking illegal.
What the hell is going on? My car? I was only gone for 10 minutes.
Are you telling me I don't know what I'm doing?
Yes, but you can take your chicken and shove it up your fucking little ass, all right?
Hold
on. Tell me what. Come on, bitch. Light me up.
You want a piece of that?
Come on.
Okay. What's the kind of bullshit I'm putting up with, huh?
It's total bullshit. She breaks the law, and she's coming on me. Fucking cow. Poor bitch.
I still like the idea of us packing. I'd shoot her right now if I could. Right in the ass. Huh?
Alina attaches a hidden microphone to Lonnie's jacket.
Shit, there he is.
Yeah, Tim, hurry up.
He catches up with Bob.
Bob.
Oh, hey, Lonnie.
Listen, I'm glad I caught you. You know, I gave your picture to a friend of mine. He's doing a music video. He was really interested in your look, dude.
Really?
Yeah, man. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not promising anything, but...
Well, thanks,
Lonnie. I know.
Thanks a lot.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, that was funny with Gran, eh?
Huh?
Well, that training session. Yeah, he got ahead of himself, eh, with that old Murray's technique thing, yeah.
Technique. I can't believe Grant and those others bought into what Murray was preaching.
Yeah, I'll say. You guys got your own solutions, though, I bet.
Well, actually, we do, Lonnie.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me about it.
I don't think I can. Anyway, you're going to find it out. Anyway, you're going to find out about it soon enough anyway. So,
come on, at least tell me how long you guys been working on this for.
I can't get
Well,
into
what,
that.
Since before Murray's accident? Is that...
Okay, look, how long? Murray's accident was just that. It was an accident. I mean, they released the driver this morning.
What, they released the driver?
Didn't you know that?
Oh.
Grant and Lonnie meet with Dave in a diner.
Well, I was going to tell you.
You're supposed to keep us informed, you know, from the inside. You said you were going to nail this guy.
Well, it wasn't really up to me. The detective said that Murray just, he walked right out in front of him without looking.
What detective?
The detective on the case.
You mean you weren't even on the case?
Well, not exactly. No.
So, do you even know if Murray had written this guy up?
They don't know.
They don't know? Why can't they just check Murray's ticket book?
They couldn't find it. They don't think that he had it on.
Let me get this straight, Dave. What you're telling me is that Murray was downtown during work hours in his zone without his gold medal ticket book.
Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, Grant, but there's not much I can do about it.
When are they releasing the report?
I don't know. I think next week. The detective's on holidays.
He's gone on holidays.
You know what? It would be really good to see that report.
Yeah. You think maybe you could get us a copy of that report? Take a look at.
Dave is stunned.
Gee, Greg, you know that's against regulations.
Dave.
I can't believe you just asked me that.
Dave leaves.
Dave!
Grant stops him at the door.
Murray's a good friend to you. We've all been good friends to you. You let us down.
It's not fair. I want to know about what happened to Murray just as much as you do. You know, I hang out with you guys down at the club because you're usually nice to me. But you want to know something? I get teased all the time by the other cops and even hanging out with you guys.
Lonnie interviews Dave.
I've tried 3 times to make detective. And, I'd like to try it again, you know? But, man, they make the tests really hard. See, I'm just a traffic cop. That's what I do. I could lose my job for doing what he asked me to do. I mean, it's not fair to ask a guy to risk his job.
Grant leads Lonnie to a severed parking meter.
Wow, look, this is where it happened, eh? Oh, clean off.
I can't believe they haven't replaced it yet.
Well, the system's fucked up, dude.
What are you talking about? Oh, good, here's Jerome.
Finally.
Jerome gets out of his truck.
Well, I thought maybe, you know, he could help us lift and look inside some of the street grates here. There's 6 of them, and they're heavy. Can I speak to you alone?
No, I know how much driving a truck means to you.
Grant and Jerome speak privately.
Sorry for what I said.
Jerome gives him a playful punch. He gives him a bear hug.
You want to take off this one?
Yeah, then there's one up there.
Jerome pulls a pry bar from his truck.
This is like finding a tennis ball. You know when you're playing road hockey? Do you lose your tennis ball? No, I don't know that.
They search for Murray's gold medal ticket book.
Hey, we found something!
Really? Okay, hold on.
Jerome lies on the ground, reaching into the sewer.
Okay, careful though. Just let us get the camera in here. Careful.
Okay, bring it up. Bring it. You got it?
He pulls up a mangled boot.
I think it's Murray's shoes.
Not Murray's shoes. Okay, thanks, Jerome.
That night, Olina attaches the hidden mic to Grant's jacket.
It's important that they think that you're on the same side.
What do you mean?
Well, we just want to know what's going on. It's going to be easier if we're on the same side.
We are. We're all on the same side here.
Okay. Test it? Can you hear him?
Oh, hello? Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Good. Go get him, Tiger. Go.
Oh, okay.
As Lonnie and his crew wait by the van, Grant steps into a diner and approaches Ida and Bob. He knocks over Ida's coffee.
Oh, here. Let me get you a napkin, Ida. I mean, sorry. It's probably all my fault. I came to talk to you about some stuff, and I've been thinking. And, I was, recent events and everything, I think it would be great if I could see Murray's ticket files.
Tickets files, Murray's ticket. Well, you know, the police have already looked through his tickets.
They're taking care of it, Grant.
No, they're not, Bob. They're on holidays.
Grant, look, we understand what you're going through. There's going to be this emergency meeting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It seems as though it's going to involve some kind of new
technology.
Technology.
Yeah. Technology?
Yeah, it's supposed to improve safety.
Safety.
Improve safety? How?
It's probably...
Safety board. Really flipping out about this accident of Murray's. The company feels that this new tech thing, it's going to, calm them down.
Listen, As acting safety and training steward, I want to make a formal application to see Marie's ticket files.
Grant, it's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen.
What about bringing Marie's attacker to justice?
Ida turns to Bob, then glances over her shoulder.
Grant, I'm sure you've heard the rumors by now.
What rumor?
About Murray feeding pigeons on Granville Island the day of his accident.
Granville Island? It's not even on his route. Plus, he hates pigeons.
It would be strange, wouldn't it? Feeding pigeons on Granville Island in the middle of his work day.
What do you say?
I don't know. You know him better than we do.
You tell us.
Grant stands.
He was fine.
And walks away.
Grant.
Emergency Grant. Meeting tomorrow.
Grant, what's going on?
They're trying to ram something through before Murray gets back.
Why was Murray on Granville Island?
He wasn't on Granville Island. They're just trying to make him look bad. If I had those ticket files, I'd be able to prove that. Those ticket files would show exactly where he was that whole day.
Hey, we got tickets.
Alina shows the ticket to Grant.
I didn't write it.
Well, look at this. You're double parked.
You want me to pay? You still no pay me for tape stock. You no pay for tow.
You got towed?
He get towed many times. He got many tickets. He multiple offender.
A multiple offender?
No, I wouldn't call myself that.
How many tickets do you have?
A few thousand dollars worth, I guess.
That's why you're making this film.
No. No, no. Okay, a little at
Grant
first.
Walks off,
but, now,
but Lonnie follows.
Now it's about you and Grant and Murray and opening the window thing. Where are you going? Where are you just gonna... Grant.
Fuck.
Lonnie stalks back to Alina.
Yeah, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Oh, you just lied to him again.
I didn't lie to him again. I meant that.
You don't care. You say what you like to subject. Probably why you never finish film.
Well, fuck, man. At least I'm not flirting with the fucking subject.
That's it.
Right?
I quit.
Quit? Okay, here you go. You know what? The only fucking reason that you were hired was because you're Gus's cousin. That's it.
No, that's not entirely true, man. The reason we brought her along is because you've burned everyone else we know. I'm serious, man. It's not easy getting crew for you. It never has been.
Gus, you coming?
I don't know. Look, man, if she's going, I'm going too.
Gus, you're kidding me. Gus
turns off the camera. He turns it back on.
Okay? Relax. Okay? Okay, listen. We can work this out, right? We're professionals. I'm sorry. I raised my voice. I shouldn't have... Can we work this out, Alina? I really need you.
You pay for the ticket.
Yeah.
And pay money you owe me for tow.
Yep.
And pay for tape stock.
Of course.
And no more lies. Subject.
I'm not gonna do that.
Okay, good. Now we make film together.
Well, what do you mean make film together?
Later.
Excuse me?
Alina interviews enforcers.
Have you heard about meeting tonight?
The emergency meeting? Yes, I just found out about it.
Doesn't mean anything. They have them all the time.
So do you have any idea what this is about?
Safety.
Well,
they're talking about changing some safety things. I don't know. Maybe they'll put curb feelers on us so we start beeping or something when people come towards us. I don't know.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind a Palm Pilot.
I think that they could maybe put like a special coating on the tickets, like a sedative, that maybe when the people get it mellows them out.
Well, I like to have a dog with me.
The enforcer, Denise, holds a tiny dog in her arms.
But
I think if we had dogs and were allowed to have dogs, it would calm a lot of people down.
Did you hear rumor about Murray feeding pigeon?
The woman shrugs.
Yeah. I heard it. It's a rumor, right?
If Murray was on Granville Island, then he wasn't working. And that seems significant to me. What do you want me to say? What are you looking for? Why are you asking?
Could mean that he was having a snack.
But did he often stop for snacks?
Do you have snacks?
Yeah,
so there you go. Maybe he's having a fucking snack. Maybe I'm going to go have a fucking snack.
Hey.
I don't want to look like a jerk on the camera talking about that out of turn.
No, you don't look like a jerk. That's okay.
Lonnie follows Gord.
Hey, Gordon, you seem like a smoker. You want to smoke?
Well, I don't smoke cigarettes.
You want to smoke a doobie?
Talking about the...
Gus secretly films Lonnie and Gord smoking up behind a dumpster.
Man, that's crazy stuff going on. They would Murray and the pigeon things. No, man.
Well, he wasn't, you know.
There must have been something up with Murray before the accident, eh? Thing?
Yeah, he was drinking, getting into arguments. He wasn't being himself.
So, it was possible that he was on Granville Island?
Yeah. The only way to really know was to, you know, follow the map, you know.
Right, on the day that...
Yeah, find out where he wrote his tickets and then...
Yeah, right, for the day that he...
Because you gotta look at his
tickets. Right. Well, we tried to get his ticket files from Item Bob, but they wouldn't give them to us.
Really? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be hard to get it from Bob. He's really not that smart.
No, eh?
Later, at a tiny back alley video shoot.
Yeah, so this is it.
Right here?
Yeah. This is our little setup. Done shoots here before. Funk video. Okay, why don't you take off your coat?
Bob takes off his coat.
Maybe take off your tie.
He pulls off his clip-on tie.
Yeah.
Lonnie messes up his hair.
Okay. I'm thinking maybe you could do, like, up and down kind of... Go ahead, hit the music.
Olena starts the music. And Bob stares awkwardly at the camera. Then slowly starts to dance. He dances bizarrely on a steel staircase like he's in a musical.
Whoa, careful now. That was really great.
Can you do more?
No, that was great. I think you showed some variation there. Which is really important. Did you bring Murray's ticket files?
Yeah. Bob grabs his bag.
Right.
He hesitantly gives Lonnie an envelope.
Okay, good, thank you. Right.
So, thanks for the opportunity.
Okay. No problem.
Bob leaves.
That was more of a white lie.
They hurry to the van where Grant and Jerome sit waiting.
Really appreciate you doing this, Lonnie.
No problem. I just... You know, I really do feel bad about not being honest right from the start of this thing.
Don't worry, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
As Jerome smiles at Alina, Grant flips through the envelope's contents.
Where's the rest of them?
What do you mean, that's all he gave me?
Oh. Well, how far back does it go?
I don't know. I asked him for every ticket for the past month.
Murray could write these in a week.
Well, I guess Bob didn't give them all to me.
Well, the numbers are all in sequence, though. I mean, they all seem to be here, which is strange. Because
Grant stares at one ticket file.
Oh, my God.
Right, let me see.
This ticket here, this license, this is the same guy that hit me.
You can remember that guy's license plate?
Yeah. It's the same guy, same vehicle. It's a white cube van. You guys recorded it that day that we met. I mean, this guy's capable of anything. And Murray ticketed him 2 days before the accident.
So what does this have to do with anything?
This is a very strong lead.
Grant, one thing I don't understand. Why would Murray be feeding those pigeons?
Murray wasn't feeding any pigeons.
No, but you said Murray was not acting like himself. You said he was acting funny.
He was having trouble with his radio.
You said he
was... Look, I know what I said, Jerome. Whose side are you on?
Grant. I'm on whatever side you are on. You know that. Always.
Jerome turns away, hurt.
You know, maybe if that van is still in the recovery yard, we could get in there and check the plates. Do you think, Jerome, you could call your boss and see if he could get us access to the yard?
Yeah, sure. Anything.
Jerome hurries to a payphone. Grant tries his radio.
Dave, go to 2. Over.
Over, Dave. Over.
Yeah, hi, Dave. It's Grant. Over.
Grant, I'm at work now. Over.
You know what we were talking about earlier? I found something I think you'll be interested in. Over.
Grant, I'm at work now. Over.
Yeah, I know. When can we meet? Over.
Now. Later, maybe. I don't know. I gotta go. Over.
Soon after, Lonnie and his crew pull up to the impound yard.
Hey, Grant. Hey, it's here. It's in the back. Jerome's gonna get the guy to let us in.
Where Jerome and Grant meet with the attendant.
Get out of here. Please.
No, but what you said? You said before it's okay. We don't take the camera.
The attendant leaves with his dog.
You don't know we have the camera.
He said we won't take the camera.
I just tell him, and he said he changed his mind.
I just want to see if the plates match.
I know, I just tell him, you know. I know people act different under pressure, but you do the same for me.
They interview Jerome.
I'd like to think so. I lose my job for him.
That night, Jerome pries open the fence surrounding the impound yard, and they all sneak in.
Grant, what about the vote meeting? It's not until 8 o'clock. We've got enough time.
Fuck. We're getting fucking busted, man. I swear to God.
As the attendant sits in his trailer, they find a white cube van.
There's no plates on it. Jerome, get me in the truck. I want to check the registration.
Okay, okay. I drive.
Jerome picks the lock.
Get down. Okay.
That's it. Good job.
Grant jumps into the cube van.
Okay, let's make this quick.
And checks the registration papers.
It's just the wrong truck. Plates don't even match.
How come?
It must be at the wrong yard. It must be at the...
Grant, go to 2.
Grant's radio goes off, and the attendant spots them.
Grant, go to 2. Over.
They race through the yard.
Grant, over.
When can we get together, Grant? Over.
Now's good. Dave, over.
They climb under the fence. When Jerome gets stuck, the dog bites his foot.
Come on, back here.
The attendant catches Jerome, and everyone else runs to the van.
Come on, let's go.
Fucked up. What kind of place is this to meet him? I don't understand.
Very nervous, Dave. It's very nervous about this kind of stuff.
I'm nervous.
Serious.
They spot Dave on a bridge.
I don't want him to let you hear. Stop here. I'll see you at the meeting.
Turn your mic on.
As the crew films from a distance, Grant rendezvous with Dave.
Hey, right here, right in the middle, right on top there. See that? I'm positive that's the exact place.
Grant shows him the ticket file.
Huh? What do you think?
That's not the guy that hit Murray, Grant.
How can you say that? It's...
Look, Grant, this is the investigator's full report. It's all in there.
He hands over a thick folder.
About a month ago, he started writing fewer and fewer tickets, especially near the end. And on his last day, he didn't write any.
Well, how did they know that?
They found his ticket book in the trash can, Grant. On Granville Island.
Well, why would it be there?
I don't know that. I don't know. It's like he just gave up.
Grant hands back the folder.
Grant.
And walks
Grant.
Away.
Grant! Where are you going? Grant!
At the emergency meeting, as the enforcers murmur over a handout, Ida and Tony check their watches. And Lonnie looks on.
Take a seat. Thank you. Now, you've all had a chance to review the handout, so I'm going to get straight to it. U Finds is proposing that they begin immediately to replace all existing meters in the downtown core with what they think of as the future of parking control. Everyone, the new iMeter.
Bob unveils a futuristic parking meter with a camera.
As you can see, when a vehicle's time expires, the meter automatically reads the license plate and transmits that information to an orbiting satellite above. It's then bounced back to the dispatch unit where the violation is automatically recorded and a tow truck driver is then alerted.
Grant walks in, disheveled.
The ticket is then mailed to the registered owner. The system is completely automated, thus, zero risk of violence.
So what do the enforcers do?
Nothing. No enforcers are needed.
What? Hey, that doesn't sound like a very good idea at all.
Why, settle down. This is just an information meeting. Let's hear the entire proposal, and we can take questions afterwards.
I got one. What about our jobs?
Well, that brings us to the buyout offer. We are expecting that most of you are going to like what's being put on the table here. We believe the company is prepared to offer compensation to our membership in the range of about $15,000 per year served, prorated down to the month.
Okay, no, just wait a second. So what are you saying to me? You're saying that for my 2 year service, I'm going to get $30,000?
That's my understanding.
Sign me up.
Harriet takes her seat.
How's
the public going to respond to an automated ticketing system? Oh,
everyone turns to Grant.
What are they going to do with all their anger? I mean, who's going to help them?
Ida turns to Tony for support.
Well, I think the introduction of these meters in some of the more difficult areas of downtown has got to be looked at as a good thing.
Yeah, well, you know, we have to think about the safety of our members first. It's only a matter of time before someone is going to get seriously injured.
Look at what happened to Murray Schwartz.
Yeah. What did happen to Murray? Did Murray know about these new satellite meters?
We just found out ourselves today, Grant.
So you didn't talk to him about them a month ago? What would Murray say if he was here right now?
Grant turns to his fellow enforcers.
How about you owe it to yourselves? This job isn't about anything. You were right, Lonnie. We're nothing but tax collectors.
Lonnie hangs his head. Grant looks at his silver metal ticket book, then at the satellite meter. Throwing down the book, he leaves. Ida shrugs at Tony as the enforcers mull over their options. Lonnie follows Grant and finds him dealing with two irate offenders.
Grant.
Hey, man, relax.
Everything's cool.
cool? This guy gives me a ticket while I pick up my friends? That's cool?
He didn't give you a ticket.
Who the fuck are you? What the fuck is this? Can you see with your own fucking eyes? It's a fucking ticket. Oh,
Grant attacks him.
Oh, Jesus.
Lonnie, Grant, and the offenders tackle each other.
It's a glasses!
Ida and Bob are interviewed.
The one thing you can never do is attack a member of the public. You learn that on the very first day.
Day one.
Yeah, he knows that.
Yeah, there's not much we can do for him now.
No.
Lonnie and the crew find Grant's hospital room. Jerome answers the door with a scratched face and bandaged arm.
You just want to be alone. It's nothing against you guys, Lonnie. You know that, eh?
Yeah, I know. That's okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, maybe.
Okay.
Jerome slips back inside.
You know, like a big star wrestler, and the guys come and said, you're the very lucky dog.
Wearing a neck brace, Grant doesn't smile.
Grant. You there?
They interview Jerome.
No, if he doesn't want to talk to me, I can't do anything about it. I offer him to well him down and to sit with Murray, but he doesn't want that too. I'm almost ready to call it quit. I just wish it didn't end like that.
Those in favor?
Yeah!
The enforcers vote.
Okay. Those against?
Day.
I'll take the money, but they haven't bought my trust.
Yeah, I've got a family to support. I got every right to take it.
Obviously, Murray was upset. But he didn't try to resist, did he? And why? Because underneath, he knew it was inevitable. He knew this was the best thing for the members.
You don't feel the least bit responsible for what happened to him. Why should we?
At the hospital, Jerome visits Grant.
People get up every morning and do whatever is important to them.
Gus films through a crack in the door.
You have to respect what people choose to do. And I don't think anyone has to feel guilty to taking the buyout. I know I wouldn't.
Grant turns away from him.
Grant. Teach me many things. You teach me how to love my job. And I think it's not important what job you do. Just love it. That's it then. I'll see you around.
Grant takes Jerome's hand, pulls himself up, and hugs him. Lonnie interviews enforcers.
You're gonna miss your uniform.
Harriet wells up. She nods.
Now I think I'm ready to face some fears that I've had in... I think the first one is to get up in front of people. I thought maybe community theater.
I'd like to do something that's a little more like me.
I'd like to find something I can really commit to, be really good at. Seriously.
Later, at a repo agency.
Our best employees average 4 or 5 collections a week. You can usually tell within hours of hiring someone whether they're cut out for it or not.
The manager turns to Grant.
He had 2 collections his first day. 9 at the end of his very first week. And last month set an all-time record of 46 repossessions.
No, sir, I don't think my mother can do that.
I've never had anyone come in here and make this kind of an impact. Ever. So... when he says to me he has someone he used to work with, someone he thinks might fit in nicely here, well, I'm all ears. I say, bring him in, Grant.
Grant leads Murray into the repo office.
Mr. Mankey, this is, Murray.
Murray, Mr. Mank.
Murray. Welcome.
Murray shakes hands with his manager.
Come on, I'll show you our desk.
I don't care if he can't remember anything or who he is. He'll just have to make some new memories, that's all.
Mrs. Schwartz.
I'm just happy to have my boy back.
In a tow truck.
I feel great to be behind the wheel again. Grant knocked me up.
Grant and Murray sit in the tiny back seat.
And as for Murray, who's the heck don't want a clean slate? You should have an operation where you could get that. Go for a beer, Murray, after work.
Soon after.
Hello there. Hi, we're with Hunters and Collectors. We're here to repossess the vehicle.
I own it, so fuck off.
Grant gestures to Jerome.
Oh, you got a tow truck, huh? A big tow truck. Does that make you feel tough, Meg? Huh? Make you feel like a...
He notices the camera.
What the fuck? Get that! I'm calling the police!
The man heads inside.
Excuse me?
And his wife steps forward.
It's a blessing. Really, it is.
She gives Grant car keys and heads back to the house.
I think she's gonna drive another one.
Grant and Murray get into the repossessed red convertible and back into the street. Grant grinds the gears. Nodding at the camera, Grant gives Jerome a high five and drives away.
She took my heart away. She said I had it coming to me.
Not a bad job, huh?
A film by Lonnie Goosen, Olena Polopov, Gus Morsky. Jerome hugs Olena. Current occupation, tow driver, lover.
She's wonderful.
Produced with the participation of Telefilm Canada. Dave is awarded a certificate at a ceremony. Current occupation, police detective. Produced with the participation of British Columbia Film. Harriet squeezes off rounds at a firing range. Buyout, $32,000. Current occupation, manager, Hope Gun Club. Produced with the participation of CanWest Independent Producers Fund. Gord sets up a sign outside a downtown sex shop. Buyout, $12,200. Current occupation, owner, Gord's Accessories.
She took me to a doctor.
Produced in association with the Movie Network. Denise walks a pack of dogs. Buyout, $13,006. Current occupation, dog walker. Produced in association with Movie Central. Bob poses for a group photo in a superhero costume. Buyout, $94,119. Current occupation, movie extra. Produced in association with Showcase. Grant Parker, first winner of the new Collector of the Month award. He leads his colleagues in Tai Chi exercises. Current occupation, leader. Produced with the assistance of the Province of British Columbia, Film Incentive BC, and the Canadian Film or Video Production Tax Credit. Murray does Tai Chi with Grant. Current occupation, assistant intern. Memory recovered, 50%, and improving daily.
And your love is good love,
produced with the financial participation of Rogers Telefund. Lonnie takes the ticket from Olena.
I would like to pay this ticket too.
Zero outstanding tickets. Current occupations, documentary filmmakers. This described version of The Delicate Art of Parking was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by J.J. Hunt, narrated by Darlene Jack, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast, in order of appearance, Gus Morsky, Andrew McNean, Olena Polopov, Diana Pavlovska, Lonnie Goosen, Doug Tiefenbach, Dispatcher, Rob Brunner, Older Woman, Gladys McNabb, Angry Short Man, Michael Coleman, Businessman, Scott Owen, Woman on Street, Diana Francis. George, Robert Clark. Harriet Sharp, Nancy Robertson. Grant Parker, Fred Uinek. Big Polish Guy, Igor Ingelsman. Jerome Uo, Tony Conte. Mustang Owner, Sam Easton. Mustang Owner's Buddy, Alex Green. Claudia, Anne Warren Pegg. Guy on Street, Randy Schooley. Murray's Mom, Monica Marco. Murray Schwartz, Gary Jones. Bob Gromer, Richard Side. Dave DeMarco, William McDonald. Ida Thomas, Gabrielle Rose. Walter, Bisky Gugush. Colleen, Shannon Jardine. Phil, Tori York. Cedric, Cedric D'Souza. Gordon, Peter New. Tony Bullock, Bill McKenzie. Zoe, Monica Stokel. Nurse Madeline, Sharon Heath. Older car owner, John Burnside. Broke businessman, John Murphy. Woman getting towed, Iris Paluli. Denise, Simone Bailey. Directed by Trent Carlson. Written by Trent Carlson and Blake Corbett. Songs: J'ai besoin de toi, performed by The Holograms, written by The Holograms. Blame It on the Night, performed by Marc LaFrance. Does It Show, performed by Crave Metallum. Endless Dream, written and performed by Tommy Banks Jr. Spaceship Superstar, performed by MMO. Two Strangers, performed by MMO. Poker Face, performed by MMO. Fugitive, performed by MMO. You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, performed by MMO. Filmed entirely on location in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The characters and events portrayed in this motion picture are entirely fictional. Any similarity to actual persons or events is purely unintentional. Except for Bob, he's based on Blake Corbett. And the scene where he was dancing? That was based on the time that Blake was dancing at the Mile Zero rap party? Everything else was made up. Honest. Distributed by Cinema Libra. Copyright 2003, Anagram Pictures Incorporated. All rights reserved.